Welcome all devotees and guests for our Sunday festival at Sri Shraddha Gopinath Mandir. Today we are all trying to prepare our heart for the advent of the Supreme Lord. Tomorrow is the most auspicious occasion of Sri Krishna Janmashtami. So we will do some Krishna Katha to purify our own hearts and prepare our consciousness for the arrival of the Supreme Lord. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages, they ask questions to Suta Goswami about Lord Krishna. And Suta Goswami begins by replying, Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprishno yenatma suprasidati. Sadhu, sadhu, excellent questions. Suta Goswami is congratulating the assembled sages by saying, you are asking excellent questions. Why? Because bhavadbir lokamangalam. These questions and answers will bring auspiciousness in the whole human society. Why? Because these questions are not ordinary questions. These questions are about the Supreme Lord Krishna. Yat krita krishna samprishno. When we ask questions and answers about Lord Krishna, when it is connected to Krishna, krishna samprishno, then yenatma suprasidati, the soul becomes completely satisfied. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes a beautiful purport and he explains how in this world everyone is looking for questions and answers, questions and answers. He says how the birds in the nest, they get up in the morning and they ask question, where is the food? Children go to school, they ask questions, they get answers. Politicians, they are asking questions, they are getting answers. Press representatives, they are asking questions, getting answers. Market you go, questions, answers. Stock exchange, everywhere, questions, answers. Prabhupada points out all the different places where questions, answers are going on. And he says, but nobody is satisfied. Because nobody is asking questions and discussing answers about Lord Krishna. Only that is the platform of real peace and happiness. So therefore, when we come together like this, whether it is Janmashtami or any other occasion, we should try to discuss about Lord Krishna. And that purifies our hearts. Nivritta tarshe rupagiya manat bhavau shadashotra manobhiramat ya uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashugnat. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Sukhdev Goswami explaining how if we want relief from lust and all materialistic activities, tarsher, nivritta tarsher, then we have to sing the glories of Lord Krishna and hear the glories of Lord Krishna. Because this is the aushadi, this is the medicine, bhava aushadi. And this is a very unique medicine. Krishna Katha is a very unique medicine because bhava aushadach shotra manobhiramat. This medicine has to be taken not from the mouth, but from the ears, as we are hearing the Krishna Katha. For this medicine enters the ear holes. And generally medicines are bitter and medicines are austerity to be taken. But this is Manobhiramat. This medicine of Krishna Katha gives great delight and joy. Very unique medicine. As children, I remember we used to like homeopathy medicine a lot. Because you know they are, you take them and it's sweet also. So we used to many times take a lot of more medicines. But that's a perverted reflection. Actual medicine for the soul is Krishna Katha, which is not only purifying aushadi, but also it gives great joy to the heart. And therefore, ya uttama shloka gunanuvadat, we should come together and glorify Lord Krishna. And therefore, today we'll discuss the glories of Krishna. And our goal is, when we are talking about Krishna and we are trying to be Krishna conscious, our goal is to be like the devotees in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where there is highest Krishna consciousness. 24 hours they are Krishna conscious. Like everybody has a goal. If you ask a student what is his goal, he will say Harvard or MIT or IIM, CA. So for a devotee of Krishna, what is our goal? Vrindavan. Vrindavan consciousness. So what is the consciousness in Vrindavan? We'll discuss that. So Sukhdev Goswami describes, this is before the pastime of Arishtasur. Sukhdev Goswami explains that in Vrindavan, what was the state of consciousness? एवं व्रज स्त्रियो राजन् कृष्ण लीलानुगायति रेमिरेह सुतच्चित्तास् तन्मनस्का महोदया. He is saying, my dear king, the Vrajastriya, the women of Vrindavan, what were they doing? Krishna Leelanu Gayati. They were constantly singing the glories of Krishna. And before this, he has explained how the gopis of Vrindavan, they would feel great separation, great pain to see that Krishna has gone to the forest. They would feel a lot of separation and pain. At the same time, now what they are doing in the absence of Krishna's physical, Krishna's physically is absent there, he has gone to the forest. So what are the Brajavasis doing? Krishna Leelanu Gayati. They are constantly singing the glories of Krishna. And because of that, Remire Hasuttat Chittas, their consciousness is absorbed in Krishna and their mind, Tan Manaska Mahodaya. There is a great festival going on in Vrindavan because there is constant glorification of Krishna. So when Krishna would be absent in the daytime, he would be going into the forest. All the other residents of Vrindavan would be constantly singing the glories of Krishna. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes a beautiful purport explaining how, on the one hand, we say that the residents of Vrindavan would feel a lot of pain and sadness also. And at the same time, they would also feel happiness. Sometimes they would be in anxiety, fear, all different emotions. But all of this is called by Sukadeva Goswami as bliss. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that on material platform, pain or suffering is bad. Period. That's it. Pain means pain. But when it comes to residents of Vrindavan, even the pain, so-called pain, is a different variety of pleasure because it is in connection with Krishna. So therefore, there is great, great festivity in Vrindavan. Like one devotee, I meet him, whenever I meet him, very senior devotee, I ask him, how are you, Prabhu? He'll always say, miserable material world, suffering, struggling, but enjoying. But I'm happy also. This is a standard answer. It took me some time to figure out what he means is that material world is anxiety, there is suffering, but because he's chanting, hearing, associating with devotees nicely, he's happy also. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And Ridhanand Maharaj and Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, they write a beautiful purport giving the example of ice cream. How ice cream, there are many flavors. And sometimes the best ice cream is produced by mixing different flavors and they create a wonderful combination. So similarly, he says on the spiritual platform, Krishna and devotees, they mix flavors. Sometimes there is astonishment, anger, anxiety. But all this is spiritually a big treat. It's like that. Like if you go to South Canara district, you go to Mangalore area, there is a very famous ice cream there called Gadbad ice cream. And you don't know whether it is ice cream or a juice or a crispy wafer or fruit salad. It's all a mixture of everything. And it's very tasty. It has many layers and very popular. But name is Gadbad. Don't ask me why the name is Gadbad. But it's very popular. And everybody relishes it. That's considered as the best flavor of ice cream. So similarly, if you see in spiritual circles, what if the best flavor? The Vrindavan flavor. Because in Vrindavan, there is anxiety. When Nanda Maharaj hears that Krishna has gone to the forest without Balaram and he sees inauspicious signs, everybody is in anxiety. And in great anxiety, they run, searching for Krishna, seeing his footprints. And then when they see Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, there is a lot of fear. And then when they see Krishna dancing on the woods of Kaliya, there is enjoyment and celebration. So different emotions. And when there is a forest fire, after that pastime there is a forest fire. And then there is again fear, anxiety, like that. Different emotions. And when Krishna goes to forest, there is sadness. So all these are different spiritual flavors. And that makes Krishna Leela very sweet and very special. And Srila Prabhupada, when he explaining this pastime, he gives another interesting aspect in Krishna book. He says how residents of Vrindavan would feel great anxiety when demons would come. And they would be blissful also because they would take shelter of Krishna. But Prabhupada, he gives another interesting aspect explaining how material world is so contaminated. that even in Vrindavan, everybody is blissful, but still, because we are in material world, demons try and try to, they come and try to disturb the peaceful situation. So this is the material world. So even if you are blissful chanting and hearing, that will be the demon of Kali, quarrel and hypocrisy. So we may be in the wonderful Sangha, but as long as we have this mind, Emona Durmati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing. So our mind is our wicked demon. And as long as we are in this material world, struggling with this mind and senses, and Kali means quarrel, hypocrisy. So there will be a lot of challenges, but our challenge is to create a festival of hearing, chanting, coming together, glorifying Krishna. So although we are in material world, we can celebrate. This is what Srila Prabhupada is writing before the Arishtasura pastime. That our focus is to fix our mind and heart on Krishna. So then although we are witnessing so much of anxiety, so much of suffering in this world, we'll be blissful. Like this, in our temple, the Pushyabhishek festival, how did it start? In 1992, there was some riots and the whole area was very tense. So people were not going to work for many days, a lot of anxiety, stressful situation. So that time, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj said, they saw the Vaishnav calendar and they said, oh, this is a nice festival, Pushyabhishek. So let us celebrate. So then devotees got flowers and they started doing the Abhishek of the Lord with flowers and it became a big festival. For that origin of that festival was a lot of anxiety, fear on the material level. But because devotees, pure devotees have a desire to glorify Krishna, that becomes a festive event even in that situation. And today for Pushyabhishek, we don't even advertise. But still 5,000, 6,000 devotees come. So Pushyabhishek's origin was this. Similarly, whenever there is opportunity for glorification of Krishna, especially when we are in stressful situation or anxiety, this is our succor, this is our relief, that when we glorify Krishna, this keeps us very positive and there is a lot of positivity created. So even if demons of doubts, demons of faithlessness, different demons attack, demons of envy, lust, so if we are holding on to Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, then we are protected. And then we will be joyful even in the midst of great anxiety. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantaschumam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna is saying bodhayanta parasparam, devotees should come together and discuss about Krishna. And this is the solution. Actually, when we are seeing the tamasha of Kali, the way Kali is infiltrating into human society, and we also get victims of it. Our only succor, only hope is coming together and doing Krishna Katha and Krishna Kirtan. And if you are professing or claiming to be devotees or trying to be devotees, then we have to come together and discuss about Krishna. Shyamanand Prabhu gives a very graphic example. He says, if there are two cricket batsmen in the middle of the very tense moment in the match, and if they come together in between overs and they're discussing. So he says, what are they discussing at that time? Are they discussing what is for breakfast or lunch? Are they discussing the Lokpal bill? What are they discussing? They are discussing about that match because it's a tense moment. And then he says, what if two underworld smugglers, they call up each other on the phone? What will they discuss? How was the Bhagavatam class today? They are going to discuss about smuggling and drugs and murder. So he was saying that similarly when two devotees come together, the Vaishnavas, what are they doing? What do they discuss? That discussion is related to service to Lord Krishna. So hearing, chanting about Krishna, that is our goal. And especially now that we are celebrating Janmashtami, we have to prepare our heart, we have to prepare our consciousness to receive Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan in 1976, he was very sick and he was giving darshan. Devotees had crowded around him in the room and Prabhupada was sitting in a couched position. He was obviously in pain and for more than half an hour, devotees were sitting quietly. Nobody was talking. And after some time, devotees decided to leave so that they don't disturb Prabhupada. So as they got up to leave, slowly, Prabhupada opened his eyes. He realized that devotees are now leaving. So he said, Any questions? So devotees are shocked. But one devotee, and they said, no, no, we should not disturb Prabhupada, we should leave. But one devotee was enthusiastic, so he asked a question. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, get my Bhagavatam. And then in that pain, in that discomfort, Prabhupada started speaking Bhagavatam. And for the next 2 hours, he gave class. And there were question answers going on. This was Prabhupada's consciousness, absorbed in Krishna. And also, I was reading the memories book in Dr. Mishra's studio, when Prabhupada was staying, yoga studio. Dr. Mishra would give lecture, and in the end, when 10 minutes was left, he would tell Prabhupada, Swamiji, only 10 minutes is left, so you can do kirtan or you can give a small talk for 2 minutes. And Prabhupada would say, yes, 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 I know, people are getting late and you know we should end early. I'll just take 10 minutes. But once Prabhupada would start, because he is glorifying Krishna, he would speak for 1 hour minimum. So Brahmanand Prabhu was recollecting this. Prabhupada always saw every opportunity as an opportunity to glorify Krishna. Satswarup Maharaj also writes in one of his diaries how when Prabhupada came to Boston for the first time, he was giving a lecture in the Boston University. All hippies were there. They had no idea about, you know, Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada begins the lecture by saying, this is the first sentence to American youth who have no idea about Krishna consciousness. And the first sentence he says, I would like to thank all of the assembled young boys and girls for giving me an opportunity today to glorify Krishna. So this is Srila Prabhupada's consciousness. He is always looking for glorifying Krishna. So in this mood, let us read this pastime. So after Sukadeva Goswami says, how there is great festival going on in Vrindavan of glorifying Krishna. And then he begins by explaining how one day, one demon named Arishtasur entered Vrindavan. Arishtasur was in the shape of a bull, huge bull, gigantic bull with huge horns. And he dug up the earth with his hooves and he entered Vrindavan. When he entered Vrindavan, the land started trembling as if there was an earthquake. He was so huge and so powerful. And as he entered, he roared fiercely. And everybody became fearful. And people became so fearful that some pregnant cows, they had miscarriages. And he was so stout and so strong, this Arishtasur, that clouds were hovering over his body, just like clouds are hovering over mountains. And all the men and women of Vrindavan, they became very fearful. Cows and animals started running away. And they cried, Krishna, Krishna, please save us. And Krishna came in front of Arishtasur. And he looked at all the residents of Vrindavan. And he said, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I'll protect all of you. And then coming in front of Arishtasur, he said, you lowest of creatures. Now, this is interesting. Arishtasur was actually technically highest. He was very big. But Krishna calls him lowest of creatures because he is frightening the residents of Vrindavan. He says, you lowest of animals, you are frightening the residents of Gokul. If you have come to challenge my authority, I am willing to fight with you. Iti asfot yachado rishtam tala shabde na kopayan sakyoram she bujabogam prasarya vastita hari. Sukadeva Goswami describes why Arishtasur became more angry by Krishna's remarks. Because Krishna humiliated him by calling him lowest of creatures. And then what did Krishna do? Iti asfotya chitorishtam. He slapped his arms with his palms as if inviting him to fight. And Krishna is a small boy. And this angered Arishtasur. And then what did he do? He casually, sakyor amshe bujabogam, he casually put his arms on the shoulder of his friend. And this friend also became fearless, saying Arishtasur, because he was with Krishna. And then he's inviting Arishtasur to fight. So you can imagine what a blow to the ego. Actually, if you read Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami gives very beautiful descriptions of Krishna's 64 qualities. So one of the qualities he explains is Krishna is clever. So before that, in Nectar of Devotion, you will find Rupa Goswami gives such beautiful descriptions of Krishna's qualities. And we may think many of these qualities are same. But actually, what Rupa Goswami does, for each of those qualities, he gives a definition. Each of them are different. Like he says, Krishna is highly learned. Next quality, Krishna is highly intelligent. Next, Krishna is genius. Fourth, Krishna is expert. And then next, Krishna is clever. You may think all five are same. If you tell someone you are expert, you are genius, what we mean is actually same thing. But Rupa Goswami gives definition of each of this, and then he gives examples and verses to explain how Krishna has this quality. So one of them is Krishna is clever. So what is the definition of clever? So he says clever means somebody who can do many things at the same time without flaw. So then he gives the example of Arishtasura killing. How when Arishtasura was attacking, Krishna had put his arms on the shoulder of his friend and he was laughing with him and composing a poem. And while composing a poem, he had some cows and calves which had earlier got afraid of Arishtasura. But now Krishna was caressing them and awarding them fearlessness. So look at Krishna's expertise, cleverness, Rupa Goswami is saying. He is putting his arms on the shoulder of his friend, composing a poem, playing with the cows, and also, along with all this, he is casting his glance, love-filled glance, mischief-filled glance at the coward girls who are standing on the side and watching this event. So Krishna is doing everything. So example of multitasking, you can do many things. We can't take inspiration from Krishna and try to be clever by doing many things at the same time, like, you know, I will chant, I watch the news on TV and read newspaper. We can't try all this. Only Krishna is unique, and he can display this quality of cleverness. Like that, Rupa Goswami then explains how Krishna is expert, Krishna is genius. So you can read that. It's the second part of Nectar of Devotion. In the same book, there is a second part. So Arishtasura is very angry that Krishna is humiliating him like this. So he starts roaring in anger. And just like the thunderbolt that is hurled by Indra, Arishtasura attacks Krishna with his tail upright. And as soon as he comes in front of Krishna, Krishna holds his arms and throws him away, just like an elephant would throw away a small animal. And again he gets angry. Again he attacks. And as soon as he comes near Krishna, Krishna this time picks his horns, lifts him and throws him on the ground. So in the process his horns are broken. And after Arishtasura is on the ground, Krishna kicks him. And with his lotus feet, he squeezes him just like you squeeze a wet cloth with your feet. Like that he squeezes him. And Arishtasura, he starts choking, suffocating. And he starts rolling over the ground. And starts bleeding, passes stool and urine, and his eyes bulge out of the sockets, and he dies. And demigods become very happy, and they start showering flowers and glorifying Krishna. And suddenly, there was festival, there was anxiety, now again there is festival. Evam kukudminam hatva stuyamana dvijativi vivesha goshtam sahabalo gopinam nayanotsava. Sukadeva Goswami says, after this humped bull was killed, stuyamana, everybody started glorifying Krishna. And then what did Krishna do? Vivesha goshtam sabalo. With his elder brother Balram, he entered Vrindavan. And when he entered Vrindavan, what happened? Gopinam nayanotsava. There was a festival for the eyes. So everybody started glorifying Krishna and Balram. Krishna Balram ki jai. Nanda Nandan Sham Sundar ki jai. Moru Mukuta Bamsi Vale ki. So like that they were glorifying. Because they wanted an opportunity to sing glories of Krishna. Actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes a very nice purport here. He says, see, this is one example of the sublime contrast in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is an abode of extreme sweet contradictions. Where he's pointing out the previous verse where it is described very graphically how Krishna killed a powerful and wicked demon. And now, in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is revealing how simultaneously with his boyish features, he is awakening conjugal feelings amongst his young girlfriends. So how he can do both? Krishna can be hard as thunderbolt and he can be soft as a rose, depending on our attitude, how we approach him. So Arishtasura wanted to kill Krishna. So he met an end like this, and he saw a different feature of Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan, they love Krishna, so they are celebrating and they are having a festival. So this is the most amazing aspect of Krishna Katha and Krishna Leela, where we can see contrast like this. And there is always a festival. Now this contrast, they make Krishna very sweet. If you see, Krishna performs the pastimes of stealing the clothes of the gopis. But same Krishna provides unlimited cloth. In which pastime? In Draupadi pastime. When Draupadi Vastraharan was going on Krishna, same Krishna supplied unlimited cloth. Krishna is known as butter thief. He steals butter. But same Krishna, he is the husband of goddess of fortune. He doesn't need to steal. Who is the person who steals? One who doesn't have anything. But Krishna is glorified for being a thief, although Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Thousands of Lakshmis are serving him. So, do you know any person in material world who is glorified for being a thief? Will we be introducing, if Mr. Dhirubhai or Mr. Mukesh Ambani comes for a special program, will anybody introduce him like this? Mr. Mukesh Ambani, chairman of the Reliance group, very great man. And when he was in school, he used to steal pens and pencils. Will anybody introduce him like that? Will any great person be introduced like this for his stealing activities in childhood? Only Krishna. And it is so sweet. And Krishna, his hands are very small. So when he carried rice grains to give to the vegetable vendor who came, fruit seller who came to Vrindavan, those grains were falling off from his hand. He couldn't even hold those grains. But later on, same Krishna, with the smallest finger of his left hand, held the huge Govardhan mountain. So isn't this an amazing contradiction and sweetness? Krishna killed Putana, who had filled her breast with a lot of poison. And Krishna killed her, but granted her immortality. By killing her, he gave her the position of a nurse. In the third canto, second chapter, we find Uddhava is in ecstasy, remembering this pastime. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam samapaya yadapya sadhavi lebe gatindatri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Uddhava is saying, who is more worthy of taking shelter than Krishna, who, when sister of Bakasur, when Putana came to kill Krishna with her poison, he sucked the poison and her life force and awarded her the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. Kamva dayalum, can there be anyone more dayalu than Krishna? And then we can see many more contradictions in Krishna. It is explained how death and fear is afraid of Krishna. If you read Gajendra's pastime, Gajendra prays, Yakashanesho balinonta koragat prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham bhitam prapannam pratipati yadbhayan mrityu pradhavat aranam tamimahi. He's saying how we are all afraid of one big serpent which is chasing us, and every human being in this world is running, and the serpent is running behind him. The serpent is serpent of death, waiting to devour all of us. And as we are running, but when we come in front of Krishna and fall down at Krishna's lotus feet and take his shelter, then the serpent sees Krishna and serpent starts running away with the same speed from Krishna. So death is afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is afraid of who? Mother Yashoda. Gopya dade tvai krita gasidama tavad yate dashashru kalilanjana samramaksham vaktram niniya bhaya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimohayati bhirapi yad bibheti. Kunchadevi is praying how that Krishna is running away from the fear of Mother Yashoda, and when he is running, yate dashashru kalilanjana samramaksham. Krishna has put kajal on his eyes, that mascara, black mascara, that becomes wet by his tears. And he is breathing heavily out of fear of Mother Yashoda. So So this is the unique glory of Krishna, that he is running away, and then Kunti Devi is saying in the last line of this prayer, Vaktram niniya bhaya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimoheti bhir. I am bewildered, my dear Krishna. Apiyat bibeti. Fear personified is afraid of you, but you are afraid of Mother Yashoda, who is a simple coward woman. So the love of the Brajavasis conquers Krishna. So we have, and the same pastime we see how another contradiction. Mother Yashoda binds Krishna with the rope. But immediately after that, what does Krishna do? He releases Nala Kuvera and Manigreve, who were bound in the body of a tree. Bilamangal Thakur very beautifully prays, Dhanam cha manam cha tatendriyani pranam sharitva mama sarvameva palayase kutra drito dya chora tvam bhakti damna simaya niruddha. He says, Krishna is a very great thief. He is saying, Krishna, you have stolen everything from me. Dhanam, you have taken all my wealth. You have taken all my material honor, manam. All my senses are now engaged only in your service. Dhanam cha, manam cha, tatendriyani. Pranam cha, my life you have taken away. Mama sarvam eva, everything you have taken away. You have stolen it and you are running away. But where will you run away? Palayase kutra drutodya chora. Oh, chor, where will you run? Palayase kutra. But why you cannot run away? Tvam bhakti damna si maya niruddha. Niruddha means stop. I will stop you by the damni, by the rope of my bhakti, and I will tie you. So Krishna is freeing Nalakuvera and Manigreve, but Krishna is bound by Mother Yashoda. And one of the most amazing contradictions about Krishna is Krishna is all knowing. He is sarvagya. Krishna is all knowing, otherwise how can he fulfill the desires of so many devotees all over the world? He knows what is there in our heart. If we come in front of Radha Gopinath and offer prayers, they will reciprocate. So Krishna knows what is there in the heart of each and every living entity. He is sarvagya, but Krishna's another quality is he is also mugdha. He is bewildered. When pure devotees have exchanges with him in Vrindavan, he gets bewildered. Chinatsi ghoram yamapasha bandham, bhinatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham, chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham, naivatmana bhakta kritam tu bandham. So Krishna is so powerful that chinatsi ghoram, the most horrible noose, yamapasha, the ropes of tied by the messengers of Yamaraj, yamapasha bandham, this Krishna can cut off very easily. Bhinatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham. And we are also tied by the ropes of materialistic existence. Bhavapash. And that also Krishna can easily cut off. Chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham. And all the entanglements and material attachments we have, and these ropes of desires we have tied around ourselves, Krishna can cut off all of that also. Chinatsi sarvasva samasta bandham naivatmana bhakta kritam tu bandham. But he cannot cut the rope of devotion that his devotees tie around him. That's how he becomes mugdha, although he is sarvagya. For these are like this, Krishna is filled with wonderful transcendental contradictions. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains the logic behind this. We cannot understand this logically, but he gives an example to make us understand how we should see Krishna's contradictions. So he says, just like a bee, bhamra, a bee has a capacity to penetrate hard wood. Daru bheda nipunopi shadangrir. Nishkriya bhavati pankaja koshi. So the bee has capacity to break hard wood, but what does the bee do? It goes into a lotus flower, pankaja, and tries to get nectar. So when the bee is trying to get nectar from the lotus flower, the petals of the lotus flower, they close. But the bee is so absorbed in collecting nectar that it doesn't bother, doesn't mind being covered by the lotus petals. Similarly, he says, Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. But when he enters the lotus-like heart of his pure devotees, then he discovers so much nectar there that he doesn't mind being covered over. For the love of the pure devotees, he is like the petal of that lotus. It covers, and Krishna willingly becomes mugdha. He becomes covered and he forgets his own supreme position. That's why Uddhava was a Jnana Mishra Bhakti. He had a lot of knowledge about Krishna. He was a pure devotee, definitely, but he had knowledge about Krishna's opulence. So that's why Uddhava would get sometimes bewildered. Once Krishna asked him his opinion, Uddhava, what do you think of this? And Uddhava said, I'm bewildered. You are the Supreme Lord. You're asking me my opinion. You know everything. That's why Kunti Devi offers a nice prayer connected to this, how Krishna has sweet contradictions, and this actually can be bewildering to a common man. But for pure devotees, it is a cause of celebration. And all the contradictions of Krishna are resolved when we understand one quality of Krishna, and that is, he is Bhakta Vatsal. He loves his devotees, and to reciprocate with his devotees, he exhibits all these wonderful qualities. So Kunti Devi, in one prayer, she says, Janma karma cha vishvatman ajasya kartura atmana tiryan rishishu yadahashu tadatyanta vidambanam. I am extremely bewildered, Krishna, that you are aja, you are unborn, and you are akartur, you have nothing to do. But still, janma karma, O soul of the universe, you take birth and you perform activities and you appear in a different species like aquatics, animals, amongst sages, amongst humans. So amongst aquatics, Krishna appears as Matsya Avatar. In animals, Krishna appears as Varahadev. Amongst sages, he appears as Nar Narayan. And then amongst humans, he appears as Lord Ram, Krishna. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a very powerful point to make us understand how we should know why Krishna has so many qualities, why he performs so many pastimes, why does he come to this material world. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna, through all these contradictions, proves that he is inconceivable to our limited thinking power. We should not think that I can capture Krishna with my mind completely. We have to actually surrender to Krishna and offer our hearts to Krishna. Once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada said, we cannot understand Krishna, so this devotee said, Prabhupada, then why have you written so many books? Srila Prabhupada said, I have written so many books so that you can understand that Krishna cannot be understood. Actually, I was hearing recently one lecture of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he also gave an interesting angle to this. He said, why Krishna performs so many pastimes? He said, Krishna has told in Bhagavad Gita, Man Manabhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskar, always remember me, offer your respects. So then Maharaj was saying that, now how can you remember God? To make it easy for us to remember Him, Krishna comes and performs all these pastimes, so that it becomes easy for us, so that we can remember Him. And that's why Krishna is so wonderful. See, Krishna's hands are so soft. It is said that Krishna's hands are more fragrant than the lotus flowers found in Kailash Mansarovar. Very fragrant. And the gopis would feel the cooling touch of Krishna's hand on their faces. But the same soft hand, when Keshi came to attack Krishna, what did Krishna do? First time Keshi attacked with this feet, and Krishna picked his feet and threw him away 100 yards. Second time he came running, this time Keshi came with his mouth wide open. So as soon as he came close to Krishna, Krishna took his left hand and knocked all his teeth out and put his hand inside the mouth of Keshi, and Keshi got suffocated and Krishna's hand became hot. So Krishna's hand is so soft, but to Keshi, it was completely different. Even lotus feet of Krishna, we discussed how it is so soft. We saw how Arishtasura was killed and how Kaliya, what did Krishna do with Kaliya? He was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. It was a great enjoyment for all the Brijvasis, but for Kaliya, blood was coming out, poisonous coming out from his mouth. He was feeling Krishna's feet to be so hard, like thunderbolt. And later on you will see in Mathura also, when Krishna enters in that wrestling arena, after killing Chanura and Mushtik, then one wrestler attacks. There are many wrestlers there. So one Kuta, he attacks. So Balram picks him up with his left hand and kills him. Then Shala comes. So how does Krishna handle him? Krishna leaps in the air and with his left leg he kicks him so hard that on that one kick, Shala falls dead on the ground. So Krishna is the origin of karate also. And then Toshala comes, his other colleague, no? He also comes. And Krishna again jumps up and again kicks him hard and kills him in one knock. So like that, Krishna performs these wonderful pastimes. So it all depends on us actually at the end of the day, in what attitude we approach Krishna. We approach him sincerely, aspiring to offer our hearts, then Krishna reveals great, great nectar in the process of Krishna consciousness. When Krishna was entering the wrestling arena, everybody saw him, all the people who had assembled in that stadium, they saw Krishna, but they were amazed because each one of them perceived Krishna differently. Malla naam ashanir naam naravaro, stri naam smaro murtiman, gopa naam swajano satam kshiti bujam, sasta swapitaro shishu, mrityur boja pater virada vidusham, tatvam param yoginam, vrishni naam paradevateti vidito, rangam gatasagraja. So when Krishna entered this wrestling arena, the great wrestlers who were there, they saw Krishna and they felt Ashanir, thunderbolt is coming. And the men of Mathura were sitting in that stadium, they saw Krishna enter and they said, wow, what a handsome young boy. And Strinam Smaro Murtiman. And the young women of Mathura who saw Krishna enter, they felt Mr. Cupid personified has entered. And Gopanam, the coward men who had come from Vrindavan, they saw Krishna enter. Gopanam Swajano. They said, oh, our Krishna has come. And they waved to him. He's our yar, you know, our man, our boy. And there were also many impious kings who were Kamsa's friends, who had also occupied, you know, that Kamsa had a big stadium where this wrestling match was held. And there was special seats, balcony seats and dress circle and all that. So in those special seats, all these impious kings were sitting, waiting for the match. And they saw Krishna. And what did they feel? They saw and they felt somebody has come to chastise them. They didn't feel like what the women of Mathura were feeling. And then Tattvam Param Yoginam. Some yogis were also sitting in that stadium. So when these yogis saw Krishna enter, they thought, the super soul, Paramatma has entered. And Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, was there. And when he saw, Shishu, my child Krishna has entered. So each one is perceiving Krishna differently. Mrityur Bhojapater, Kamsa was sitting. So when Kamsa saw Krishna come, he immediately felt, my death has come. Virad Avidusha, there were also some foolish people in that stadium. And when they saw Krishna enter, what they felt? Ordinary boy has come. Why everybody is going gaga over him? Ordinary boy has come. Like that, everybody. And Vrishni dynasty people, they were feeling, oh, the Supreme Lord has come. And that's how Rangam Gatas Sagraja, with his elder brother, Krishna enters the wrestling arena. So this is very, very sweet. So Krishna performs all these pastimes. And if we have an aspiration to love Krishna, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santaha Sadeva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, we can perceive Krishna. So this pastime takes place of killing of Arishtasur. And then there is a beautiful pastime of the origin of Radha Kund and Sham Kund, which we will discuss some other time, maybe during Bolashtami or some festival like that. And then, as there are festivals going on in Vrindavan, something interesting happens in Mathura. Narad Muni comes to inform Kamsa something very important. He says, Kamsa, do you realize that so many of your friends you are sending to kill small children and they're all being killed. Do you know who is killing them? It is none other than Krishna and Balaram. And they are the sons of Vasudev. Vasudev has fooled you. You are thinking that Vasudev's eighth child was a girl? Daughter? No. It was Krishna, and along with Balaram, they are staying in the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So when Kamsa hears how he has been cheated by Vasudev, he gets angry. He draws out his sword to kill Vasudev. And immediately Narad Muni stops him. He says, no, Kamsa. Vasudev is not going to kill you. You have no threat from him. And don't kill Vasudev now. Because if you do that, Krishna and Balaram will run away. Nanda Maharaj will take them away. You will not be able to catch them. Better you invite them to Mathura. Have a nice wrestling match, exhibition, festival in Mathura. And invite all the residents of Vrindavan. So Narad Muni offers a very diplomatic proposal. He says, let them come. And when they come to Mathura and they're enjoying, and then you kill Krishna. Once you kill Krishna, then you can kill all the others. Because if you kill Krishna before then, if you kill Vasudev or Devaka, Devaki before, then your plan will be unsuccessful. But you can kill Krishna, call Krishna. So he encourages him like that. But still, Kamsa is very angry with Vasudev. And he comes to know that Vasudev has cheated him. So he gets Vasudev, Devaki, Ugrasen, everybody arrested. Devaka, Ugrasen, Shurasen, everybody is arrested. So actually, externally it may appear that Narad Muni is a friend of Kamsa. He is going and, you know, advising Kamsa to, he is telling Kamsa about Vasudeva's treachery. Vasudeva's treachery. So it appears as if he is friend of Kamsa and enemy of Vasudev. But that's why we should be careful. We should never see by external activities. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes nice purport that why then Vasudev, in the 11th canto we find he is thanking Narad Muni for being the cause of, Kamsa being killed by Krishna. So actually, Narad Muni wanted to expedite the whole pastime. He wanted Krishna to immediately come to Vrindavan and perform this pastime. And actually, Narad Muni is arranging Kamsa's killing by Krishna. And also, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that how this shows how Narad Muni has so much affection for Vasudev. Because he is feeling that Vasudev is in Mathura and Krishna is in Vrindavan. So Vasudev must be wanting Krishna to come to Mathura. So therefore, Narad Muni, out of his affection for Vasudev, is speaking like this to Kamsa so that Krishna comes to Mathura very fast and Vasudev and Devaki get his association. So we should know that Narad Muni is being very merciful to Vasudev. It's not that he is externally it appears. Many times devotees, we may see them externally doing something and we may get bewildered. But we should know that there is some other plan. Even Prabhupada was misunderstood. Sumati Murarji, she had one secretary. So when Prabhupada was going to America, so before going, he was staying in the Scindia steamship colony at Andheri West for a few days. Few days was left to go. So the secretary of Sumati Murarji would make fun of Prabhupada. He would say, oh, Swamiji, I know why you are going to America. You are old and before dying, you want to see America once. So that's why you are going. And Prabhupada would laugh it off, Because Prabhupada was going on a mission, which is Guru Maharaj had given him. And we know in America also, when Prabhupada was giving lecture in New York, Prabhupada, how much desperation he had to give Krishna. But people were not ready to receive. In the Lilamrita, you will find one place Prabhupada is speaking about Krishna. And all some old women are sitting, nobody is interested. They are interested a little bit in Indian culture, that's all. And Prabhupada is speaking and he says, so Krishna told Arjuna, and Krishna went to Vrindavan, Krishna. And then suddenly Prabhupada stops. He realizes that he is speaking something foreign. He says, do you know Krishna? There is pin drop silence. Prabhupada says, Krishna? You have not seen Krishna? Krishna's painting? Krishna? He asked a few times, no response. And everybody is just looking at him quizzically. Because for them, Krishna doesn't make any sense. In India, even if a person is not a Hindu, everybody knows something about Krishna. But there, it's completely, people are like, Krishna, it doesn't ring a bell. And you can hear, you can feel Prabhupada's voice trailing off, Oh, that disappointment. Somebody who's living in Radha Damodar temple and always absorbed in Krishna, here comes to a place to give Krishna to people who have absolutely no idea. And there in one lecture you will see Prabhupada saying, I am not happy here. My heart is in Vrindavan. I am missing Vrindavan. And there's one lady, she says, one old lady, she's sitting in the class, she says, ah, I know, you are not happy here. Prabhupada says, yes, I am longing to go to Radha Madan Mohan temple. I want to be in Vrindavan. I am so far away from Vrindavan. And Prabhupada says, but I will not go back. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me to preach. So like that, Srila Prabhupada was absorbed in giving Krishna to others. So this pastime, you can see how Narad Muni enters and expedites the pastime. Of course, Narad Muni is also misunderstood in India. People, they don't know that he's a pure devotee and is always arranging things in such a way that Krishna's pastimes can be enhanced. So we should not judge devotees externally. Gadadhar Pandit could not understand Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Bhishma Pitama, his glories were revealed in the end, just before he left this world. Vritrasur, his glories were revealed just in the end. So we don't know who a Vaishnava is. So no, we should never judge them wrongly. So after this pastime, Vasudev, Devaki are arrested, then Kamsa makes a big plan. Because he now realizes, he has come to know who is the one who is going to kill him. So he calls Keshi. And he tells Keshi that, go to Vrindavan and kill Krishna. But he says in such a way that Mother Saraswati speaks through him, that the verse can be changed, the words can mean that go to Vrindavan and get killed by Krishna. So he is actually sending Keshi, demon, to be killed by Krishna. And then he calls all his wrestlers and he tells them a master plan of how to kill Krishna. Then he calls all his elephant trainers and he has one huge elephant which had the strength of 10,000 elephants. And this elephant was called Kuvalyapida. So he calls the mahout of that elephant. And then he prepares for a big yagya called Dhanur Yagya, where Lord Shiva's expansion, Kala Bhairav, is worshipped. And there's a huge bow kept in that yagya. And Prabhupada says how these wrestling matches which Kamsa arranges, Prabhupada writes a purport that how wrestling matches are very popular in northern India, even today. So Kamsa was arranging that big match. And so he makes a perfect plan to kill Krishna. So demons have a foolproof plan to kill the Lord. And this psychology of Kamsa is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna explains in the 16th chapter, divine and demoniac natures. So the kind of plans Krishna is making, haso maya hata shatru, anishye chaparam hapi, ishwaroham ham bogi, siddhoham balvanapi. So I will kill my competitor like this, then I will finish off that enemy, then I am the greatest enjoyer. And today I've got so much wealth. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapse manoratam. Idam astidam tato me bhavishyati punardhanam. So like this, demoniac people have a lot of plans. And who is more wonderful than me? I am so smart. Yakshe dasame modishya iti agyana vimohita. They are in complete illusion. So Kamsa knows that he is going to be killed by the eighth child of Devaki. He also knows that that child is none other than Krishna. But still he is so confident that he will kill Krishna. This is causeless envy. You know, demoniac. Even Kaliya, when he saw Krishna, when Krishna jumped into the lake and Krishna began swimming and Kaliya realized that somebody is attacking his territory. So when Kaliya came in front of Krishna, Kaliya also realized that Krishna is exquisitely beautiful. He is so attractive. But still because of envy, he wanted to attack. Even Duryodhan, at one time in the war, when Jayadratha was being, the day when Jayadratha was killed, at one point Duryodhana realizes, oh, Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. We can't win this war. Krishna is the greatest. But I will kill him. We will win the war. Prabhupada says, causeless envy. So Kamsa knows he is going to be killed by Krishna. But so demoniac. So actually we should take lessons from this. How somebody like Kamsa is so insignificant in front of Krishna. And we are, what is our position? How can we plan to be independent enjoyers? Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave a very graphic comparison with the redwood trees in America. They have redwood trees in California. And he was saying how these trees are so huge. And that is actually a caption, a photograph, two photos. In one photo, they have shown a 6-foot man and a small ant. And in the next photo, you will see this tree, redwood tree. And the man is like that ant. He's huge, tall. And it's 2,700 years old. So somebody may claim to be great, powerful, but how insignificant we are in front of that tree. And that tree is so insignificant in comparison to the demigods. And demigods are so insignificant in comparison to Krishna. So what is our position? And here we are, iti agyana vimohita. In illusion, we are making grand plans to be happy in this material world. Like when we see an ant, ant has a lifespan of how many days? 2 days. And you may see the ant running 2 days only for food. And you may think, what a life, horrible life. So Radhana Swami Maharaj in that lecture he was saying, but if you see in comparison to redwood trees, we are like that ant. Because our 80 years of life is like 2 days. And what are we doing in these 80 years? Same thing, running from here to there, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Insignificant life. Now, as we are enjoying in this material world, we have to realize that as we are making grand plans to enjoy, we are simultaneously dying also. Because time is all powerful. So therefore, we cannot be in this illusion. But Maya is so powerful, she keeps us in illusion. And we have this hope. Like Kamsa, I am going to be happy. Adyo bijanavan asmi, konyosti sadrusho maya. I am so wonderful, who can be better than me? And we make grand plans. And Maya also tricks us in such a way, she arranges situations in such a way that we want to come back to this material world. Again and again and again. She is like that expert salesman. Once one man went to a shop, shoe shop. So as he bought shoes, so he said, I don't have money, can I come back and pay tomorrow? But can you give me the shoes today? The salesman said, no problem. So he gave the shoes. So the manager saw, he said, you rascal. What if he doesn't come tomorrow? You'll not come tomorrow. You've given him the shoes. So the salesman smiled. He said, don't worry, sir. He will come back because I have packed only one shoe. So he has to come back tomorrow. So Maya is like that, you know. She does things in such a... She doesn't give complete misery also. Because if we get a lot of misery, we'll run away from this material world. She doesn't give complete happiness also, otherwise we'll be happier. So she packages in such a way that, you know, we'll come again. We have to come back. Just when we are dying also, oh, if only I was like this, if only I had some desire and then seed of next birth. So like this, we are perpetually going through this because of iti agyana vimohita, like Kamsa. So Kamsa makes this grand plan and then he has a best plan to get, how to get Krishna and Balaram to Mathura now. So he calls Akrura. Akrura is a very trusted minister of Kamsa. So how does Kamsa begin talking to him? He says, oh, most charitable Akrura, there is no one as kind as you. I take shelter of you just like Indra takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. So then he starts telling him his plan. He says, Akrura, see this beautiful new chariot. Take this chariot. This is for you. Get Krishna and Balaram in this chariot from Vrindavan. So Akrura is so diplomatic. Kamsa is so diplomatic. He thinks Akrura will become very happy because he has got a new chariot. But Akrura actually becomes very happy, but not because he's getting a new chariot, but because he feels, wow, I'm going to go to Vrindavan to get Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram won't have to come in this chariot used by Kamsa. They'll get this new chariot. I can get them in this fresh new chariot. So Akrura becomes happy. So Kamsa thinks, you know, he's so gullible. I've given him a new chariot and I'm telling him to get Krishna and Balaram. Then he tells him that call them here. We'll have great festival here. And I was plan to kill them. So he tells them, he takes Akrura's hand on his hand and very lovingly he tells him his secret plan. And then he says how after Krishna and Balaram are killed, when they enter Mathura, the elephant will kill them. And then this will happen, that will happen. Then he says how I will kill Ugrasen. And then I'll tie up with Jarasandha, Banasur, Divida, Shambhara, Narakasur, and with all their efforts and help, we will kill all the demigods. And then he says, I will rule the earth. And then Kamsa says, then Mother Earth will be relieved of all the thorns. This is amazing. Kamsa, Mother Earth, in the first chapter of 10th canto, you will find Mother Earth along with Brahma, Shiva, everybody goes to Lord Vishnu and they are praying how Mother Earth is burdened with the demoniac kings. But here the demon is feeling the devotees are the thorns. And then, oh, the earth will be relieved of the thorns. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagriti sayam. So, what is day for a spiritualist devotee? It's night for materialist. So, it's materialistic and spiritualist, they always think ulta. So, materialist people, they think devotees are parasites. They're brainwashed. They don't work hard. They think like that. They are like Kamsa. Once, somewhere in Europe, one devotee was distributing books. So one typical materialistic person, he saw this devotee and said, and he said that famous statement which every time they see devotees, they say, go get a job. So this devotee stopped him and said, I am owner of a company, factory, and I have 300 employees working under me. I'm distributing these books because it is marathon time. So if you want, I can give you a job also in my company. So this man was shocked. So people think that devotees are useless. I remember once, a few years back, Muralidhar Prabhu and our Deepak Bagla Prabhu, they were distributing books. So one taxi wala, in the night they were distributing after their work. This taxi wala, he said something nasty. You know, called them beggars or something. So then Deepak Bagla Prabhu told him, Arey bhai sahab, a dentist hai, or my CA hu, and he told where they are working and what they are doing, how much they are earning, and this taxi fellow was shocked. Materialistic people cannot conceive. When they see externally, they think, oh, devotees are parasites, good for nothing. Or as Kamsa is thinking, they are thorns. But devotees know what the materialistic people are. They know they are working hard, but they are working hard like a bull, which works hard whole day, but going in circles. In the villages, they have a pole, and the bull is going in circles, drawing water from the well. So it is centered around that pole. And the bull has only one job. Whole day he walks, but in the end, where does he reach? Same place. So devotees know, materialistic people are working very hard, morning to night, research, study, discovery, invention, end of the day, where they are? Same thing, eating, sleeping, only four things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They are centered around sense gratification. So it's not something great. And it's not that devotees don't work hard. Devotees work hard for a spiritual cause. Taseiva heto prayateta kovido. For that, na labhyate yat brahmatam uparida. For that which we will not get by going all over the universe. And devotees know that it's no point working hard and accumulating material assets and wealth because we don't need that to go back to the spiritual world. If you are told you have to go to Sahara Desert for some project for 2 days, so will you take all your sweaters and woolen clothes and monkey caps? No, why you won't take? Because it's not needed there. So devotees are not mad after earning money and having a big bank account and getting a lot of material possessions because the place where they want to go, you can't take all this there. And devotees are fixed in their goal. They want Krishna. So they're working hard, but for a different purpose. And materialistic people cannot understand. And they feel devotees are parasites, they are thorns. And Akrura, because he's not a sycophant, he's a very intelligent minister. So he tells Kamsa, after hearing his grand plan, excellent plan, but my dear king, please maintain equilibrium. Because man proposes, God disposes. Please know that there are supernatural powers that dispose of a more grand plan than what we are planning. So, but as a friend, I will execute what you are saying. Very smilingly, he conveys that what is there in his heart. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, Akrura was saying all this, but hidden meaning, what was going on in his heart? He was saying something else in his heart. He was saying, you are no different from a low animal. Your order is not fit to be executed, but I will do it because you are the king and I am the subject. And because you are about to die, I want to fulfill your last wish. And then Akrura is also saying, he's not saying it openly, but in the heart he's saying, I know your desire won't be fulfilled, but my desire will be fulfilled. Because I will go to Vrindavan. I am going to see Krishna and Balaram. So like this, Akrura is ecstatic because he's getting a chance to go to Vrindavan. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, Keshi enters. He takes the shape of a horse. And he roars like a lion. And he rushes to trample Krishna. And Krishna kills him. And after Krishna kills him, Narad Muni approaches Krishna in a solitary place and offers beautiful prayers. So we can read these prayers. It is there in the Krishna book. Many times devotees ask, how should we pray to Krishna? We want to learn how to pray. So if you read these prayers in the Krishna book, Prabhupada, actually Devamrita Maharaj was saying that, Prabhupada told once, that it applies to all devotees. For brahmacharis especially, he said that Krishna book is the best friend of the brahmacharis. Basically for all devotees. Why Krishna book is the best friend? Because Krishna book is the means by which we can connect to Krishna very practically. So especially these prayers, when we chant these prayers and repeat them, and we add our own prayers along with those prayers, then we are internalizing those prayers in the Krishna book or the Bhagavad. So Narad Muni is offering prayers like, Krishna, you are the controller of mystic powers. You are the supreme witness of everything. You are self-sufficient. You are the maintainer and annihilator of this whole cosmos. And Krishna, I can see many things happening. I am very sure that day after tomorrow, I will see Chanura and Mushtika killed. I am going to see you very soon get Parijata flower from the heavenly planets. I am going to see you save King Nriga from elish existence. I will see one day very soon how you get the Samyutaka jewel. How Paundraka, Shishupal, Chedi, Dantavakra, they will all be killed by you. And I will see battle of Kurukshetra where you will protect Arjuna. Saratya Parshada Sevanasakya Dautya Virasananugamanastavana pranaman snigdeshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor bhaktim karo tinrupatis charanaravindam. Krishna in this verse is called as snigdeshu. Krishna is malleable because he serves his devotees in different ways. Saratya, he acts as a charioteer to Arjuna and also as an equal associate of Bhima. And Sevana Sakya Dautya, he serves as a servant in the Rajasuya sacrifice. And he also acts as a friend of Arjuna. And he also acts as a messenger of the Pandavas. And he sometimes acts as a bed so that Arjuna can put his head on his lap and sleep. Virasananu Gamanastavana Pranaman. And he offers respects to Maharaj Yudhishthir and receives respects from Nakula and Sahadev. So Krishna serves his dearmost devotees, Pandavas, in different ways. Why? Because devotees are snigdeshu and Krishna is also snigdeshu, malleable to the desires of his devotees. And he is actually pranatim cha Vishnu, he is Supreme Lord Vishnu. But that's how he pleases his devotees. And Parikshit Maharaj is remembering this and he is offering his obeisances to Lord Krishna. So Narad Muni offers wonderful prayers to Lord Krishna. And after these prayers, one more last demon enters Vrindavan. After this, Krishna leaves for Mathura. Who is this last demon who enters? Vyomasur. This is Vyomasur pastime. Very important pastime. He comes in the form of a covered boyfriend. Vyomasur means one who can fly in the sky. He had a lot of mystic powers. He was the son of Maya demon. So Krishna and Balaram, that day they were playing the game of chor police thief. So there were some boys who had become lambs, some boys were thieves. So they would steal these lambs and they would keep those lambs or the boys in one mountain cave. And some other boys who played as police, they would come and rescue them. That was the game. So Vyomasur, he played the part of a thief. And his target was Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. So Vyomasur, he caught all these young coward boyfriends first and put them inside a mountain cave. And then he sealed the mountain cave with a huge rock. And the boys inside, they cried out for Krishna. Krishna, help us. Krishna, help us. And Krishna realized that it's a big demon who has caught his friends. So Krishna chased Vyomasur, caught him and killed him. But when Krishna caught him, Vyomasur's real identity came out. And he assumed his huge shape. But Krishna kept holding on to him. Krishna didn't leave him. So as Krishna held him, Vyomasur became big, big, big. And finally, because Krishna kept tightly holding him, and by his power, Krishna squeezed him to death. And Krishna hit him hard with his fist. And Vyomasur was killed. And all the boys, Krishna rescued them. So there are many years ago, there was a lecture on this by Zorinath Radhana Swami Maharaj, and he gives a very beautiful purport to this pastime. He says how Vyomasur is actually representing our mind. He says our mind comes as a friend. Just like Vyomasur came as a coward boyfriend, mind is the biggest cheater of a sadhaka. Mind comes in the guise of a friend, as a well-wisher, like Vyomasur. And we trust our mind, just like this coward boyfriend trusted Vyomasur. And what did Vyomasur do? He put them in the dark cave. Similarly, our mind traps us in this dark cave of material existence. And only when we call out to Krishna for shelter, for help, just like these friends of Krishna called out, then when Krishna holds on to this demon, Krishna has come in the form of the holy name in Kali Yuga. So when we chant Hare Krishna and not allow the mind to escape from the clutches of the holy name, that is, allow Krishna to hold on to the demon of the mind, then what will happen? Then just like Vyomasur assumed a gigantic real shape, similarly the mind will come out with all its ugly things and dirty, obnoxious things. Mind will scream, yell, imagine prejudices, imagine so many things. But we have to hold on. Krishna has to hold on to the demon. That means we have to keep chanting. We have to keep on holding to the holy name of Krishna, because Krishna's holy name will eventually vanquish the Vyomasur-like mind. It's a very, very important instruction, because many times we feel outside propaganda is do what the mind tells you, just enjoy, get an experience of this world. This is a lot of brainwashing like this. But actually we have to learn from scriptures and avoid the association of the mind. We have to be convinced that at this stage, mind is our enemy. We can't wait for experience. We'll be playing with fire. We'll burn ourselves. Experience is not the best teacher, always. Now, I was seeing for Janmashtami, they're putting up a lot of electric wires and all that. So if that electrician says, you know, this electric wire is dangerous, don't touch it. You have heard it. But if you say, no, I want experience. I will learn by experience. First wire, maybe nothing will happen. But second wire, will die. Better to hear and then act based on that hearing. Then the experience we get will be actually lasting experience. So we should not trust our mind. And actually, as sadhakas, we should know how Maya is very powerful. Because through our mind, Maya enters our consciousness and takes us away from Krishna. And seals us, locks us in this cave of material existence. Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he comes every year during Nityananda Tridashi time. And one of the previous years, he gave such a powerful class explaining how Maya is the greatest capitalist. And a devotee should know this. Capitalist, he was giving the example of how some Japanese companies, they come to India. They sell a product at a very cheap price. So what happens? People buy that product. And eventually, the other Indian companies, they will close down. And then this company will charge a huge price. And then they'll make big profit. So he was saying how Maya is a supreme capitalist. She takes an inch from us. And then she takes a whole existence away. So she tells us, engage in sense gratification. She'll propose. And in fact, when we engage in sense gratification, after that we may see our chanting has become better. For some time, she was saying that how Maya can empower us. So somebody may be told, okay, engage in sense, take some intoxication. You will do nice devotional service. So she will not immediately take us away from Krishna. She will empower us like a fisherman has a hook and he puts a bait. So that when the fish takes that bait, the fisherman doesn't immediately pull out the fish. He waits for the fish to actually get the bait, and when the fish is hooked, then he pulls it out. Similarly, when we are actually completely into engaging in sense gratification, by that time, initially we are like, we feel yeah, nice. You know, I can do devotional service nicely. I can do this. I can watch this thing. I can do this. I can do that. And then suddenly we realize we are hooked, and we are out. So therefore, she is a supreme capitalist. And Vyomasur pastime reveals to us how we should be extremely careful of associating with this demoniac mind. So like this, wonderful pastime takes place. And then as Vyomasur is killed, Akrura enters Vrindavan. And how Akrura enters Vrindavan is one of the most important sections in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Akrura is the best example for offering prayers to Krishna. Rupa Goswami gives different examples in the Nectar of Devotion for the 9 processes of devotional service. For Shravanam, who is the example? Parikshit Maharaj. For Kirtanam, Shukadeva Goswami. For Dasyam, Hanumanji. For Sakhyam, Arjuna. So like that, for Pada Sevanam, Lakshmiji. For Vandanam, for prayers, it is Akrura. So Akrura, how he enters Vrindavan, in what consciousness, and then after entering Vrindavan, what prayers he offers to Krishna Balaram. So we'll take just a few, and then we have to end this class. So we'll just take this point of how he enters Vrindavan, and when he enters Vrindavan, he's intensely praying. He's extremely grateful, and he's constantly thinking of Krishna's lotus eyes, and he's thinking, oh, I'm now going to go to Vrindavan. I'm going to see Krishna Balaram. And then he starts analyzing, what pious activities I have performed, what charity have I given, that today I am going to get darshan of Krishna and Balaram. And then as he is thinking of this, he comes to the conclusion that no, I have not done anything. Mameta durlabham manye uttama shloka darshanam vishayatmano yata brahma kirtanam shudra janmana. I have a shudra janma, I am a fallen, I am a vishayi, I am absorbed in sense gratification. I am as unqualified to know Krishna as a materialistic person is unqualified to know, and as a low-born person is unqualified to study Vedas. So he comes to the conclusion that he has no qualification. And then he says, but Krishna's mercy is so great that by Krishna's mercy everything is possible. If he wants, today I will see him. And then he gets the realization, nice example, he says. He says sometimes a blade of grass is flowing away in the river, but by chance it comes on the bank of the river and gets shelter of the shore. Similarly, I am like a blade of grass which is being thrown away by the waves of material existence. I am flowing down, but by Krishna's causeless mercy, I have come on the shore and I am getting shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So like this, he offers wonderful prayers. We can read them after we go back home, and we can read them as a preparation for tomorrow. And we can internalize these prayers. How? Now, when we read this prayer of Akrura, he's saying that I am like a blade of grass which was thrown away, and now I have come on the shore of shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. We can add our personal prayer along with this. We can say, as we repeat this prayer, we can say Krishna, and then we can add our personal. How I was struggling, how my life was filled with nonsense and frivolities, and how I was so fallen, but you have given me shelter at your lotus feet. So like that, when we pray, then these prayers appear very meaningful. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness will only touch our maybe mind and intelligence to a certain extent, but it will not enter the deep recesses of our heart. So we have to invest our consciousness, and we have to remember Krishna. And Akrura's prayers are the best examples for this. So like this, Akrura is in great anticipation. He is saying, today I will go to Vrindavan, and then all my sinful reactions will be eradicated. My birth will become worthwhile. And then he starts imagining how Krishna will be appearing, and then what I will do when I see Krishna. He starts meditating. And then it takes him whole day. Actually, Vrindavan is just a few kilometers. But he leaves in the morning from Mathura. He reaches in the evening, because he is so excited, and he just keeps, you know. When he comes to Vrindavan, and before coming to Vrindavan, he is thinking, what if Krishna will know, actually I am coming as messenger of Kamsa.
He gets a little fearful. But then he feels, no, I will be humble. I will be honest. Krishna is there. He recognizes my sincerity. So he is confident that Krishna will not misunderstand him. So like that, he remembers Krishna's beautiful bodily features. And then Prabhupada also writes there that Akrura is confident that Krishna will recognize him. So we should also know that unless one is recognized by Krishna, life cannot be successful. It's very interesting. Many times, challenges for us, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, our senior devotees, preachers, they try to convince us, accept Krishna. So we accept Krishna and we think that is the end of it. We take initiation and officially we have accepted Krishna. But that's actually only the beginning. Because we may have accepted Krishna, but now Krishna has to accept us. Akrura's challenge is that. He's saying, Krishna should recognize me. Jagata karana tumi jagata jivan, tomachada koronai e radharaman. That if somebody gives you up, he has no choice. But next verse he says, Bhuvana mangala tumi bhuvanerapati, tumi upa khilenata ki hoi begati. But if you give up someone, Krishna, then what will happen to him? So we have to aspire that Krishna recognizes. So for that, we have to be sincere. So Akrura then is remembering, oh, then Krishna will catch me by the hand and he will say, Akrura, uncle. So just remembering how Krishna will talk to him, he becomes ecstatic. And then when he actually comes to Vrindavan and he sees Krishna's lotus prince, he jumps off the chariot and rolls on the ground and offers obeisances. And Prabhupada writes there, this is the way to enter Vrindavan. That one has to give up all identification with one's position and upadhi and roll on the ground and dust of Vrindavan and take a humble position. I remember once we were at Bandiravan in Vrindavan Yatra. And Bandiravan, there was one hand cart, the Brijvasis. And we were sitting under that big tree. In Bandiravan, there is this big tree where Krishna Balaram performed pastimes and Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving class. And we were all sitting on the dust. And there was one nice Brijvasi hand cart. And Srinathji Prabhu was sitting on that. And Maharaj was saying, Srinathji Prabhu, do you recognize that this cart is million times more opulent than your Mercedes-Benz and BMW? And Srinathji Prabhu was saying, yes, yes, Maharaj. So she was revealing how in Vrindavan, one has to enter, one has to come with this mood. One has to give up. So Akrura is giving up his identification as a minister. And then he rolls on the ground. And Prabhupada also writes, Akrura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. We should follow his footsteps. Fall on the dust of Vrindavan without thinking of our position and place. And like this, then there are beautiful prayers he offers. And then he gets a vision. Then when he's taking back Krishna and Balaram, a beautiful pastime takes place. Of all the gopis, they come and try to stop the chariot. And then finally they go to Vrindavan. And then Akrura gets beautiful vision of Krishna in the river Yamuna. And then he offers prayers. So like this, they enter Mathura. So we can read this and prepare our consciousness. And to conclude, I would like to conclude today's class because the time was 2 o'clock, but it's 2:30 now. I'm half an hour over time. So to conclude today's class, Krishna consciousness is very practical. That is the main... main message that we would like to share today. How it is practical... See, just hearing these pastimes, or you can go back and read one paragraph from Krishna book. Just read that paragraph and then you can actually close the book and speak that pastime to yourself. Try this. I don't know what will happen. And actually when you start repeating to yourself, you'll forget some things. And then when you again read whatever you've forgotten, try this 2 times. So second time when you read, and then you speak it to yourself, you'll remember much better. So what we have done is, when we do exercise like this, our mind is actually touching Krishna. We are actually coming in contact with Krishna. We are actually engaging in smaranam. We are actually remembering Krishna. And Krishna's pastimes, we are actually living those pastimes. You know, we are entering those pastimes. So Krishna book is an amazing book. So we can read these pastimes as a preparation for Janmashtami. And that way we will be Krishna conscious. So Janmashtami is an occasion when once in a year we come together and reaffirm our commitment to be Krishna conscious by reading about Lord Krishna, by hearing about Lord Krishna. Otherwise, our consciousness will be absorbed with our daily problems. Each one of us here has enough problems. We may be thinking, oh, his life is so good, his life is... Everybody has his own share of anxiety. I remember when I was new, I used to come and I used to tell one devotee in the temple, Prabhu, my boss is troubling me like this. Office problems I used to download on him. So one day he got tired. He said, Prabhu, why are you boss conscious? Why don't you become Krishna conscious? So that was such a nice statement. And then I used to also tell him a lot of political things because I was affiliated to one student wing of some organization. So he got tired of it. He said, I have a solution for all those political issues. I said, what? Sit. And he opened Bhagavatam. And he told the Trinavarta pastime. So I was thinking now some solution will come. So he started, once Krishna was there and then this Trinavarta demon came. I'm wondering, how is this connected to the Indian political problem, you know? And then he went on speaking the Trinavarta pastime for half an hour. And I'm just sitting and listening. And then eventually, in the middle of the narration, I started enjoying it actually. And the end he said, Prabhu, this is the only solution. Get attached to Krishna. Transcend the problem. You know? So we are having all this katha so that we can transcend. Because problems are not going to... Just because we have become devotee now, that doesn't mean material energy will not trouble us. Sarvam kalam kritam manne. Sapaloyad vashe loko. Bhishma Pitama is saying, all of us are under the control of time. When Pandavas were not spared, how can we be spared? So we cannot, material energy will not change for us, but we have to transcend these problems. And we transcend by getting connected to Krishna. So we have to pray to Krishna on this day, and we have to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Because when we chant sincerely and not offend Vaishnavas, if we offend Vaishnavas and we are not sincere in chanting, then everything is spoiled. Only when we are actually chanting sincerely and we are serving Vaishnavas, not offending Vaishnavas, then Krishna consciousness appears joyful. Then same Krishna pastime, each year appears more nectarine. And Krishna has appeared mercifully in the form of holy names. So when we chant, actually we are connected to Krishna. Once when devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, can I also enter Ras Leela? And Prabhupada said, yes. When you chant Hare Krishna, Radharani and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. That's Ras Leela. And then Prabhupada said, if you continue chanting, then they will enter your heart. And then the heart will become Rasasthali. So therefore, Krishna has mercifully appeared in Kali Yuga in the form of his holy names. The chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So when we take shelter of the chanting of holy names in the association of Vaishnavas without offending devotees, then Krishna consciousness will appear Kevala Ananda Kanda, ever increasingly joyful, and we will feel Krishna consciousness works. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry if I have spoken a little heavy or beyond my realization. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamohotsav ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.